Let's pick up our Bible. Let's turn our Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 8 and Job chapter 1. Hallelujah. Praise God. The greatness of our God. You know, it amazes me sometimes how men have quenched the Spirit of God. Amen. It amazes me how ministers and pastors have quenched the Spirit of God, allowing us to receive more attention than we should, when all the attention should go to God and to the power of His Word. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 8. And Job chapter 1. And I'm going to begin to read from Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. And the people and all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Israel, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Israel the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street, that it was before the water gate, from the morning unto midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood, I won't go through the names, and I'll go down to verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And he opened it, and all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, and the great God of all the people, and the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. And with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And it caused, and also Joshua, and Bena, and Beersheba, and Yamin, these following names of the Levites, caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. Job chapter 1. And verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also before them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro into the earth, and from walking up and down it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? By the grace of God today, I want to preach about a spiritual roll call. A spiritual roll call. I want to bring it to your understanding, the importance of the house of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, we thank you for the authority and the privilege that you've given unto us this day. We thank you, Lord God, for your spirit, your power, your love, and your direction for our souls today. We thank you, Lamb of God, that you sit upon the circle of glory and have great concern upon us, Lord God, who are nothing, who are meaningless in your sight. But yet, Lord God, you died on Calvary's cross that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And so we pray today that, God, that you would give us spiritual understanding and open up our hearts and our souls and our minds to what thus saith the Lord of heaven. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Spiritual roll call. Sometimes when we look into the Bible, or sometimes when we look upon the things that we do in the house of God or in churches today, we sometimes assume or believe that some things started with us. Some things began with us. But everything that happens in the church of the living God has a spiritual precedence in the Word of God. Amen. It has a spiritual precedence in the Word of God. And the Lord wants us to understand the reason on why we do some of the things that we do. Because I believe, and I know for sure, that many people that sit in pews today have a misconception of why they're there. They have a misconception of why they're there. They don't really know why they're there. They assume that, of course, naturally they feel as though some people feel obligated to be in the house of God, which that's not a bad feeling. I think you should feel obligated to be in the house of God. Amen. But some people feel obligated for different reasons. Some people might feel obligated to be at church because they might think, I might get upset because they're not in church. And that's a good reason. I'm not going to rule that out. I'm not going to say that you should feel comfortable if you ain't been to church and you see my presence, but you shouldn't feel comfortable. Amen. You should not feel comfortable. And nor do I desire to give you comfort in it. But I want you to have conviction if you didn't have a legitimate reason for not being in the house of God. I want you to feel that conviction, because that conviction is going to save your soul. And that conviction is going to maintain the salvation that you have. So I don't want you to lose that conviction, nor do I ever want anyone to think that they don't need to be in the house of God. Because the problem in the day is that even church folks are too busy to come to church. Church folks are too busy. You know, unfortunately, the world has a lot of things to do on Sunday and other days. And, of course, the world has expanded to a point that now, before years ago when I was growing up, that our society had only really used 5 days out of the week. And then our society grew to use 6 days out of the week. Now our society uses all 7 days out of the week. It's consumed everything. And of course, naturally, because of the fact is we're in the midst of survival, sometimes we're called on those particular days also to do certain jobs in certain situations. And of course, we do have a responsibility. I'm not saying that we don't have a responsibility. And I think that you would be a very hypocritical Pharisee if you probably told a man you couldn't come to work when you had the responsibility to be there. Amen? It's going to be kind of hard for you to witness to him. It's going to be kind of hard for you to tell him about Jesus after he failed in the situation that he depended upon you to be there for. But of course, naturally, those are not situations that we want to make habits of. Nor are those situations. I found one thing. Now, I think this works for everybody. I'll be honest with you. The reason why I think it works for everybody is because it's worked for me for 25 years. And it's worked for me for 25 years because you know why? Because I put God first. For some odd reason, for 25 years, for the last time, as long as I've been serving the Lord, I never had anything to do on Wednesday nights, and I never had anything to do on Sundays. I worked maybe a few times on Sundays, but very few, very few. Because I put God first. Now, it's not easy to put God first in the midst of a world that uses 7 days out of the whole week. It's a hard thing to do. It's not always easy. But the most important thing is that when God knows he's first, but God does expect us to understand the importance of being in the house of God. Amen. And I think that people have a wrong conception of church. I really do. Over the years, I think that people got the wrong conception of church. And I think people come to church for the wrong reasons. Amen. They come to church for the wrong reasons. Some people come to church because they feel as though they have to be there. Well, I feel as though I have to be in the house of God too. You know why I feel as though I have to be in the house of God? Because I am afraid that I might miss something that God has something to say to me. That's why I'm afraid. I'm afraid. But sometimes what happens, what bothers me, is when people can get in such a situation that they can miss church 3 or 4 times a week, a month. That's disturbing to me. That's disturbing to me because they, you know, when they finally hear a message that I have, whatever message they have to hear that I have to say, they don't realize that every message that I preach is a build up. I can't preach every message in one day. I can't preach like this Sunday. The message I'm preaching today was built up 3 Sundays ago. It wasn't a saying that the Lord gave it to me 3 Sundays ago, but the Lord has paramounted. And so every message that he gives you from that time to the time that he reaches, he paramounts it. Sometimes people actually come in after they miss 3 or 4 services and they don't know what's going on. They're lost. And you know why they're lost? Because they haven't been here. But also a reason why they're mainly lost is because, not because some of them had to work, it's because some didn't make the effort to be in the house of God. So it's disturbing to me. And when I look at Ezra, and the Lord brought to me Ezra today, this morning I was thinking, I had another scripture on my mind, and the Lord had given me that scripture all weekend. I was in that scripture and I looked at Ezra, and it says, "And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and all that could hear and understand upon the first day of the 7th month." So he brought the law. He laid it out before them. Now Ezra was not basically preaching the word, but what he was doing was he was reading the word of God. He was reading it. And he read therein before the streets that was before the water gate from the morning until the midday. Now, sometimes we have a problem with how long we spend in church. Amen? The flesh has a problem with how long we're going to be in church. Praise God. Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. You won't be in church long if you're in the presence of God. In fact, if you're in the presence of God, you won't think it's long enough. You won't think it's long enough. But when you're outside the presence of God and you're in your own presence, 2 or 3 hours can get pretty long. it can get pretty long. It can become pretty tiring. But once you get in God's presence, because you're in that eternal presence, it doesn't seem that long. But now here they were. They weren't endowed with the power of the Holy Ghost. And here is Ezra standing up there on, with a pulpit, expounding upon the word, reading the word. Not only did they had to listen to Ezra, but they had to wait till the word was brought down before them, because he had 12 men on one side and 12 on the other side, because they had a multitude of people. Hallelujah. Now remember, what did the multitude consist of? Men and women that could do what? That could understand. The Lord does not bring you to church to give you a bunch of things that you will not understand. He gives you things that will feed your soul, that you can have the power and the authority to go out and stand against a world that doesn't know God. He gives you things that you will understand, that you can go forward and have the victory that you need to have in your life to know that you serve an almighty and all-powerful God. He gives you that understanding. Now, some people think, well, it disturbs me because sometimes people remember what you preach. If I don't preach anything, you don't have anything to remember. But if I preach something for your soul, you know how you remember it? You won't remember it according to what I say. But you'll remember it according to what worked in your life. Because you're supposed to take the word of God and you're supposed to implement it. But you know why some people don't implement it? Because they don't believe it. They don't believe it. We have to understand, coming to church is not just a roll call. There are not angels standing here checking off who came and who didn't come. Praise God. Amen. Even though God is concerned who's there and who's not. But they're not angels here just for that reason. The angels just don't check off whether you were here. Oh, he's there. Cancer here. Nor do you win points in heaven for that reason. See, the problem is that people have the wrong concept. You know why? Because you put God on a human standard. You place God on a human standard. And because as long as God stays on and remains on that human standard, you know what you get? You get human results. You get human results. You get human results because God is on a human standard. Folks come in to please the pastor. You better not try to please me. You better try to please God. Amen. You need to work to please God. Because God is going to answer your prayers. I can't answer your prayers. The only thing you can come to me and ask me to pray with you. Amen. But I'm not a spiritual yo-yo. Nor am I, nor is the name of Jesus a magic wand. Just because you call on it, God answers. No, he has sovereignty. God has sovereignty. See, the problem with the people are in today is that we look at God with the wrong concept. God is not only God, but he is a king. He is a king. Amen. And so many times we miss the concept. Some people say, well, you know, we don't need to do all that today. We need to do that all today and more. God is a king. And he needs to be honored and worshipped as a king. He needs to be seen in your mind as a king. The Bible says he's the king of all kings. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the ending of all things. He is a king. He is sovereign. He explains to no one. But sometimes, you know what? We don't get the vision of his awe. We don't get the vision of his awe. Man, we don't. We miss it. We miss the vision of his awe. Some people think it's hype. Some people think it's hype. Some people sitting right in here right now with the Holy Ghost, filled, baptized in there, filled with the Holy Ghost, thinks it's hype. And you know what? As long as you think the presence of God is hype, you'll receive nothing from God. Because it's not hype. Because you know why it's not hype? Because hype don't work. And hype has no consistency. See, hype doesn't work. It doesn't have consistency. None at all. Hype doesn't work. After a while, anybody can see through hype. Am I right? They're building on up, shaking everybody. Hey, hallelujah, praise God. Where's the miracle? But God moves by results. God's not a God that's built up on hype. He can perform results. And he performs results according to your what? Your faith. Your faith. Your faith. But in order for you to have exercise faith, you got to exercise understanding of the word of God. You got to take it, implement it, put it out there. Sometimes you got to stand on it. Praise God. The hard part sometimes is standing on it. Am I right? The hard part is standing on it sometimes. Devil saying it don't work, do something else. It don't work. The flesh said it don't work. Do something else. Told Brother Nehemiah that. I know. Huh? Maybe you need to get on a plane. Go back to America. Am I right? Am I right? You need to ship out. It's time to go home. God's not going to answer that prayer. You missed the will of God. Huh? That's right. That's what it tells you. That's what the situation tells you. Listen, he told me that when I was sick in my body. Devil said, oh man, that ain't going to work. You got to listen to these doctors here. These doctors know what they talking about. I ain't listen to no doctors. I serve an all-powerful and almighty God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sometimes our problem is we put more respect in the authority of men than we put in the authority of God. We put more respect in the authority of men than we do in God. He's a sovereign God. So here's Ezra ministering to the people, telling them the word of God, expounding upon them the word of God, because he wanted the people to have what? Understanding. That the people might go forth from that assembly and utilize the things that they learned. That's the same thing I want in church. Praise God. I don't want people to just tell me I preach a good message. But the message don't work. It sound good, but see, the word of God always works. There's not a time when God's word don't work. There's never a time when God's word don't work. It always works. It's what we do with the word of God is what makes the difference. What do you do with it? Amen. What do you do with it? How do we implement it? What do we use it for? Amen. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Reverence. He opened up the word of God, and all the people stood up. You realize that when we open up the word of God and begin to speak from it, that even the angels that are here stand up. Amen. Because why? Because you need to give him your all. You need to give him everything that you got. Because why? This is a spiritual roll call. A spiritual roll call. God has called us here. People had the wrong concept. The Bible tells us, and listen, hey, put in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. I'm going to preach now. Hallelujah. You ready for me to preach? You ready, preacher? All right. I got the preacher up here. If I ain't doing right, he's going to correct me. Huh? Now, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some of us, because but exhorting ourselves one to another, so the much more, and you see the day approaching. As you see the day approaching. Now, listen, let me tell you something. Why do I see the day approaching and I see so many empty pews? We talk about the last days, and everybody acts like they're in the first day. Huh? Everybody acts like they're in the first day. You know why? Because people think they know more than what they do know. You think you got an inside track? You think you got an inside track? Well, if you got an inside track, why does the preacher have to be here every Sunday? If you got an inside track. Why does the preacher have to be here every Sunday if you got the inside track? You know everything you need to know. You got it all together. This is the problem. This is the problem. This is the problem with people that run from one church to another church, another church, another church. You know, and you know, these church hoppers, they go one because they're uncommitted. They don't want commitment. And you know, and commitment brings roots. And if you don't have no roots, you can't grow. You can't grow without roots. Uncommitted, you know, uncommitted. But some people only go to one place, but they never go there. Am I right? They never show up. But every time they show up, they need God to do something for them. Am I right? Every time they show up, oh, Lord, I need God to do something for me. Well, where you been all the time? Where you been? That's my question to people. Where you been? What have you been doing? How did you expect God to meet your need? And now that is, if you need God to meet your need, how come you're in need? Maybe you're in need because you weren't in the house of God. That makes sense? Many people are in need because they're not in the house of God. Because they're not, and if they're there, they're not receiving understanding. They're not understanding what's being preached. They're not consuming what's being preached. They're letting it fly by. They're waiting for the service to get over so they can get out. Man, I sure wish he stopped preaching. Amen. I sure wish he hurry up. Man, I got a roast in the stove. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is how the flesh gets in your way. This is how the flesh destroys you and robs you of the things of God. Amen. I want to get to a basketball game or a football game or whatever I want to get to. Why? What's more important than the condition of your soul? There's nothing more important than the condition of your soul. But you know what? I'm going to say this to some people's lack of understanding. Some people are not sensitive to the needs of their soul. Some people are not sensitive to the needs of their soul. Now people say, well, it can't be nobody got the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. There are people, yes. A lot of people that got the Holy Ghost and sensitive to the needs of their soul. Because they don't understand. They lack understanding. They lack understanding of what God's trying to do. They lack understanding of what God's trying to implement in their life. They won't take it and run with it. Huh? Why does God have to prove everything to you? Why does he have to prove it to you? Let me ask you a question. Now, let me ask everybody a question. Why does God have to prove everything to you? Isn't there enough proof in here? Huh? The Lord, David slew Goliath. Now, some people would take that and put it down as a little lay me down to sleep story I tell my kids. Do you know how powerful David slew Goliath? Do you know how powerful? Do you know how much words is in that? Do you realize the odds that David was fighting against? Do you realize the miracle that was involved? How many miracles was involved in David slowing? How many miracles? But you can't see that if you don't understand. You can't see that if you don't understand because you don't have a spiritual eye, because you're insensitive to the needs of your soul. You can't see that. Man, I see a whole lot of messes in David and Goliath. Praise God. That was powerful what David did with Goliath. Because David wasn't supposed to stand. Amen. But also was very simple. People don't see the spiritual side. It's very simple. Because David had an insight. And he beat Goliath, a big guy, with a very simple situation. How many times has God done that in the Word of God? Many times. Many times. Forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. In other words, we should come together because it's an opportunity for us to come. It's a privilege to be together in the presence of God. God has something to say. It's a privilege. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a privilege. Oh, man, I'm cold. Hold it. Can that preacher hurry up and finish preaching so I get out of here and get my rose? Hurry up, preacher. Hallelujah. Well, what did he say? I couldn't think about it because my rose was burning. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. I want to show you something. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was in the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, therefore not be dew nor rain these years, but according to what?" Man, you know what? He didn't say according to God's word. He said according to my word. That's a pretty powerful scripture. That designates and talks about the relationship that Elijah had with God. Huh? It showed the relationship that Elijah had with God. He said, not according to God's word, but according to my word. So in other words, me and God is of one mind. Praise God. According to my word. That means the heavens were stopped up and clogged up 3.5 years because Elijah said that's what's going to happen. And God said, I'm backing him up. Praise God. I'm backing him up. Hallelujah. And so what happened among the children of Israel, it was a tremendous drought. A tremendous drought. This shows you, the Bible says that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Praise God. Now, Elijah didn't have the Holy Ghost, but he had a relationship with God. Praise God. He had a relationship with God. And his relationship was as such that he said, according to my word. Whoa. Pretty powerful. That's a powerful. That, do you feel how powerful that is? Going to the next one. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, now, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself in the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. Go on. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Go on, brother. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. Go on, brother. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and the bread and the flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Now the ravens brought him. Now I want you to remember one thing. It was a drought. It was a drought. Here's the man of God. Now I want to show you the importance of the powerfulness of God's word. Here is a man of God in the midst of a drought that he caused. He caused it because he said, according to my word. He caused it. And in the midst he caused it, the Lord said, well, since you caused this mess, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to take you down to the brook of Cherith and I'm going to feed you. And guess how I'm going to feed you? There's nothing down there. There's only water there. But I'm going to have a dirty raven every day to bring you in some bread and some meat. Now, far as I'm concerned, he might have been taking the meat and the bread from Ahab's table. Am I right? He might have been taking the meat and the bread from Ahab's table and said, take it on down and feed my servant. That's right. He could have been taking it from Ahab's table. Now, that shows you the ability of God to do what? Provide. In the midst of what? A drought. Amen. Do you realize how spiritually dry this world is today? Huh? how spiritually dry this world is today. And the Lord can take a dirty old man like me and feed you the word of God. He can take a dirty old man like me, an old raven, and feed the word of God in the midst of a drought. You are standing here right now in the midst of a spiritual drought. Amen. And that's why it's important for us to assemble ourselves together to get everything that we can from the word of God. Because that's where you get understanding. You in a spiritual drought. Don't you think you ain't in a drought? It's a drought. It's a drought. It's a drought. And I'm nothing. I'm nothing. See, that's the problem with ministry today. The ministry wants to take itself and build itself up as being angels of God. We're not angels of God. We're instruments of God. I'm an instrument of God. Amen. You don't know where God brought me from. I'm an instrument of God. Nothing clean about me, not within myself. Nothing clean about me within my. It's nothing to exalt in me. It's nothing reason to lift me up. But it's every reason to lift him up. Because he's the provider. And he's able to do all things. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he could take dirty ravens and send bread down. He taking them all. Ahab come out for breakfast and wonder, what's going on here? My bread's gone, my meat's gone. All these birds are standing on the side waiting. What are they waiting for? Or maybe he walks out and looks and says, I want to have breakfast out there on my patio this morning. And he looks out there and he sees about 15 ravens out there with the bread and meat in his mouth. See you later, Ahab. Huh? Praise God. That's the power of the word of God. Listen, it's all in the book. You don't need no more than that. All you need to do is take what's in the book and implement it to your life. But we listen with lack of understanding. We look at a problem. We look at the situation. Amen. We look what God's doing to us. I told you about the prayer I prayed to the Lord one time. I said, Lord, it seemed like you're trying to destroy me. He said, that's what I'm trying to do. If I destroy you, I can work through you. But if I don't destroy you, I can't work through you. Don't you realize that sometimes, let me tell y'all something, saints. The Lord's trying to destroy some of y'all in here. He's trying to destroy some of y'all in here. Because you're not effective enough with God in your own way. Your flesh will get in the way every time. Your flesh will get in the way every time. Oh no. Oh no, God. We got to find another way. There is no other way. There is no other way beside what God does. God knows what's best for you. Remember? Now, here's what people lack understanding about God. He knew you before you came. He knows when you're leaving here. So he knows everything in between. Am I right? The only bad thing about it was you didn't know when you were coming. Nor do you know when you're departing. Now, one of the worst things we have is somebody know more about us than we do. And not only does he know more about us than we do, he can do something about it. Amen? But you know what our problem is? We lack understanding. We lack understanding the ability of God. The Bible tells us about how we should fear God. And not worry about man who can kill us in the body, but worry about the man that can kill the body and the soul. Huh? And the soul. But we lack understanding because we don't look at the word of God. We don't feel the fear and the importance of God's word. We don't understand the importance of God's word. And when I'm saying understanding, it's easy to understand right here while you're in the middle of the assembly. But the real position of understanding is when you get out there. How much understanding do you have when you get out there? How much do you feel the presence of God when you get out there? You feel like a saint then? Sometimes you don't always feel like a saint. Amen? You don't always feel like a saint. But you know what? I have found one thing in my Christian walk. out there, I am safer feeling like a saint than I am a sinner. I am safer feeling like a saint than I am a sinner. You know why? Because as a sinner, I do something stupid. That's right. I say the wrong thing. I might say the wrong thing to the wrong people. You know, you can say the wrong thing to the wrong people and affect your whole life. Destroy. And then sometimes we think God's supposed to come with the backup. God doesn't come with backup when you're in the midst of the flesh. Whatsoever man soweth, that's what he shall also reap. Amen. So it's important that we attempt to walk in the Spirit according to what? The Word of God. That's what I'm saying. Listen, it's not saying that God won't pick up your slack if you make a mistake. Amen. But to intentionally walk like the world and expect God to take up our slack, oh no. Oh no, I'm sorry. No. 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 I'm going to treat you like this because you treated me like this. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. God's not going to back that up. God will never give you restitution for that. He will never give you restitution for that. Because he dwelt within you, his Spirit. He's invested his Spirit inside of you. He will never give you restitution for that. He will never confirm you in that. In fact, after you do what you do, he'll bring conviction upon you. If, you know what? Let me tell you something. Here's another thing about saints. Saints sometimes can grow to a place that they can do something, and when the Holy Ghost comes to convict them, they ward it off. They ward off the conviction. Never ward off conviction. Receive it. Conviction is there to change you and to show you that you're headed in the wrong direction, doing the wrong thing. Don't ward it off. Don't justify it. And never justify it on someone else's situation. Don't do that. Receive it. And say, Lord, oh yeah, I messed up. Hallelujah. I done said it too many times. Oh Lord, I need to pray somewhere. Can I get about 5 minutes? That 5 minutes turned about 25 or 30 minutes, right? Oh Lord. Huh? But you know why? Here's why. The reason why people lack understanding, because what it is God convicts you because he loves you. But he also convicts you because he's sovereign. He convicts you because he's a sovereign God. And you're supposed to be one of his saints. So he should be able to tell you that you're wrong. Never ward it off. Never push it off and say, justify it. Never. Let God convict you. Let God bring you to your knees. Let him bring you to tears. Amen. Let him bring you to the place of, Lord, you know, I messed up. You know, sometimes we don't realize how deeply we messed up until the Lord really brings it to our attention. Sometimes, and if you ward off conviction, the Lord can't show you how deep it really is. He can't show you how deep it is if you ward it off, push it off. And you justify it according to the world's means. Why do you do that? Why do saints do that? We shouldn't do that. We are a spiritual royal assembly. God calls us here every Sunday, every Wednesday night. He calls us here. In other words, what I'm trying to say is God expects us to be here. Amen. Because he wants to give us understanding. I talked about Job, and here's the reason why I use Job. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. Now here's this particular day where all the heavenly hosts came as an assembly before God. The devil was not required to be there. You know what I'm saying? He was not required to be there because he fell from the presence of God. Why did he go? Why did he go if he was not required to be there? He went because he missed the presence of God. That's why he went. Because he missed the presence of God. And when he got there, the Lord asked him a question. Where you been? He's the only one that said, I was walking to and fro across the earth. And then the Lord caught him in his nature. The Lord caught him in his nature and says, have you considered my servant Job? Oh man, he was mad. He was hot then. He told the Lord he was walking to and fro across the earth, but all the time he was watching how he could trip Job up. He was worried about how he could trip Job up. But he realized he couldn't trip Job. You know why he couldn't trip up Job? Because God had a hedge around him. He was saying, how did I get these hedges? How did I move these thorns? How did I get to this man's life? And he said, man, if you move that, he'll curse you to your face. But God knew Job better than the devil knew. Because the devil only understands flesh. See, the devil only understands flesh. That's all he knows. He knows the reaction of the flesh, but he doesn't always know the reaction of the soul. And because he didn't know the reaction of the soul, he made the assumption that Job would curse God to his face. But Job stood up as a righteous man. Oh, yes. At times we go through trials, we have questions. No doubt about that. And Job had questions. But you see the end result. Everything that the devil had robbed him from, God had restored twofold. Twofold. Because there's things that the only thing that the devil understands is the reaction of human flesh. He does not understand the reaction of the soul. He does not know what you're going to do. Amen. But he showed up. Here I am. I'm walking to and fro across the earth. You know what? The devil's not even smart because he lied to God. He told God a lie. Because the nature of him is to lie. A deceiver. Oh, I'm walking to and fro across the earth. Well, and the Lord said, well, have you considered my servant Job? Man, he got hot in. Job! He felt like a vampire. Praise God, as a snake was driven through his heart. Job! Oh my goodness, Job. In other words, you know why Job was so big? Because he could get everybody else in the world to bow, but he couldn't get Job to bow. He couldn't get Job to bow. Because why? Because God had built that hedge around him. You know what? Some of you got hedges around you. But sometimes we tear them down ourselves. We tear down our own hedges. And we let the devil in. He doesn't know the reaction of the soul. But he does know what the flesh should do. Why do I say this? I say this because God expects a congregation of saints and of angels. And that's what church is all about. When you come together as a congregation of saints before an almighty and a great God. When you go to heaven, there'll be a congregation of saints before an almighty and a great God. And guess what? Everyone in heaven will come to attention. Every crown that will be placed upon a man's head will be thrown before the three feet of God. Hallelujah. And he will be the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. What am I telling you today? If you take that crown and you throw that crown before the feet of God, everything in heaven belongs to you. Everything. There's nothing that God won't do. Listen, there's nothing that God won't do for you if you acknowledge his sovereignty and his lordship and his kingdomship. Regardless of what you feel, sometimes say, Lord, I don't feel good, but I'm going to worship anyhow. Hallelujah. You are the great God. You are the great God. You are Almighty God. Amen. You know what the problem with people are? Here's the problem with people. People in a modern day society, I'm going to close with this. But people in our modern day society have got so stuck on themselves that they can't give anything to God. And it's in the church. People are so stuck on themselves they can't give anything to God. It's in the church. It's in the church. They can't give it all. And you know what? If you can't give it all, you can't have it all. You can't have it all. And God knows one thing, His love for us, that you are in a much greater need of Him than He is of you. You're in a much greater need of Him than He is of you. But you know what? The love of God amazes me, because He would never hold that against you. Let's stand. Is that rose burning? Let it burn. Let it burn. Let it burn. Because unless my soul is satisfied, it doesn't matter. Praise God. Let that rose burn. Let that rose burn. Hallelujah. Some people say, well, you know, Brother Greg, the only day I got off and the only day I got to rest is Sunday. You know what? The only day I got to rest is Sunday too. Because I work a full-time job as well as any of you. And you know what? My whole day is for the Lord. Praise God. Because you know what? It's easier for y'all than it is for me. You know why? Because when y'all can leave and disperse and go home, I can't do it that easy. Sometimes I have counseling sessions. I have people I have to talk to. I have to go places, eat dinner, all kinds of things. I got to do all kinds of things. You know why? Because I'm in service to God. And that's where I want to be. Praise God. I'm in service to God. I don't have it. I'm one against 100. There's over 100 people that are part of this body. And I'm one against 100. And I can't cut myself 100 ways. And I knew when I was taking on, when the Lord called me, when I came here. And I tried to tell some, I said, listen, it ain't going to be like it used to be. Because it's more. Because you know what the Bible says? If we'll be faithful in small things. If you're faithful in small things, God will give you greater things. This church has yet to reach the greatness that God can bring it to. Because I'm not the one that can bring it to it, but God can. So what I want y'all to do is just pray for the raven. Pray for the raven. That the raven can come forth and bring forth the good word of God to your soul and to your spirit, to give you the desire to serve God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and spirit. And that the Lord can fill this place with His presence, and that souls can be saved. That's what it's all about. It's not about me. It's about Him. Praise God.